Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? Glad to be back, huh? You still happy about the quarantine? You still calling it a staycation? Or are you sick of it like everybody else? I know I'm sick of it, man, but we got to figure this thing out together, folks. Not fun. Not fun. But let's get started. As usual, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you for tuning in. So please tell a friend, enemy, coworker, your local militia man. Tell them. Have you seen these guys in Michigan storming state capitals? All right. You see them with an earpiece in? They're not. Those aren't comms. They're not coordinating movements. Okay. They're listening to Negro Please Radio. All right. They're listening to me rant and make fun of them, which we'll talk about again later. I made fun of them last week, but I'll give you how I really feel about the entire situation and how it kind of relates to everybody and everything that's going on. I think that's how I'm trying to say it. But I guess we'll get started here. Oh, my back. All right. My milestone. All right. For those who don't know, we have a 7-year-old son. His name is Miles. I say we, like my wife is on this podcast, but I feel weird saying I. So we have a 7-year-old. His name is Miles. I like to talk about the different things that are going on in his life. That's the milestone. Sometimes it's big, sometimes it's small, sometimes there's nothing there. And we're not really doing much now, but right now he is obsessed with these ROM hacks of Mario. ROM, read-only memory hacks of Mario. I'm pretty sure we've all played Mario. I don't care how old you are. If you're 80, at some point in time in the 80s, somebody handed you a Nintendo controller. Even if it was for 10 seconds, you played Mario. You were like, I don't like this shit, kid. I don't play video games. I don't get it. But you've seen it. We've all played it. We all love Mario. You know, he's been around for what? 30, 40 years now? 40 years? If not longer. How old is Mario? He's got to be in his 40s, you know? Gotta be in his 40s. But so these ROM hacks are games that people have made themselves. They've hacked the original and they've changed a lot about it, whether it's the physics, the color, the music. I mean, some of them are really, really detailed. The best ones are. I've only seen a couple of the more popular ones. I'm pretty sure there's some lesser known or super like within any community, there's always like the purists, and they have like, no, this is the original ROM hack that we always play type shit. But I've seen some of the Kaizo hacks, like Ultra Kaizo World, Ultra Kaizo World 2, and Grand Poo World, and Grand Poo World 2. Now, if you've never seen any of these ROM hacks, they've basically taken the Mario game and they exploit different things about the game, whether it's the physics or just some of the different abilities that Mario may have in other versions of the game, like wall jumps, right? You can't wall jump anything in the first Mario, but in a hacked ROM, you might be playing a Mario 1 level. It looks like a Mario 1 level, but you can do wall jumps, stuff like that. Like the Kaizo stuff is really, really difficult. There's a lot of spin jumping and like jumping off of turtle shells. A lot of it is there's no ground, so you got to do a lot of hopping and figuring out what sequence to take to get you over these other spikes. And so it's a lot of spikes too. So it's really fun to watch these guys play, man. Like we watched this guy Ryu Carr, I believe that's how you pronounce it. And there's another kid. His name is Pangea Panga. I hope I'm saying that right. Asian kid. Both American guys. Very good. Fun to watch play. He got into these by watching the Mario Maker videos, because a lot of these guys would just go on and play random Mario Maker and Mario Maker 2 videos. They'll play levels that people have made. And, you know, just like with anything, there's people who become popular and they get known for a certain style or a certain level of quality or difficulty. So we started watching those guys play those levels. And then as you go on these YouTube kind of journeys, you go, oh, what's this Kaizo? What is this? You know, or you would hear him say, oh, that's kind of like a Kaizo thing. When we were both kind of like, what's Kaizo? And then you learn more and more and more, and you find out there's like a whole world of Kaizo. And this is very difficult. A lot of trolling things, a lot of hidden blocks that, like, if you want to make a long jump over an obstacle, they'll have a hidden block that's like right in the middle of your trajectory, and it'll make you fall down in a hole and you die. A lot of it's really trolling stuff. It's funny. And yeah, so that's what me and Miles have been doing, man. We've been watching a lot of Kaizo stuff, a lot of Grand Pool World. I keep messing that up. And it's just cool to see people's creativity, man, the levels that they come up with, just how people exploit the physics in the game, and they make these little mini games, and they make these puzzle maps. It is a really, really interesting, man, how to watch things evolve. It's, you know what? It's really interesting to see what communities come up with when developers kind of allow its community to somewhat take control and design things. I mean, they take these games to whole other levels. I think there might even be guys who've like made their own levels, and now they're like working for Nintendo making actual levels. I mean, it's really, really interesting. And since he's really into coding and all that kind of stuff, I don't really mind him watching and playing a lot. There is one thing that does bother me, though, as a performer. And someone who, you know, creates things and puts it on YouTube, I feel conflicted because one guy, the guy Ryukar, he doesn't curse a lot, but there are some videos he's letting, you know, the fucks and dammits fly. Few and far between those videos, but they're out there. And he's 7 years old, and he's an immature kid, but he's mature about certain things. And I have to admit, there's part of me that doesn't care. You know, if it's like, damn, I can let that slide. But when I hear shit and fuck, I'm like, damn it. I personally don't care. But as a responsible adult and a parent, I'm like, I don't think I should let him watch this guy just saying fuck left and right. It's why he doesn't listen to my podcast. It's why I don't show him any of my videos. And I really feel bad because I'm not a clean comic. You know, I've turned down clean gear. I'm not about clean comedy. And I'm not saying I don't like it. I like Brian Regan. I love Sinbad. I like Seinfeld. You know, I like that kind of stuff. But it's not me. So for me to like, not demand, but for me to be like, you can't watch that. That guy's cursing. I feel pretty dirty as someone who has uploaded my own content to YouTube. I feel like I'm being kind of a hypocrite, where like I'm almost demanding that the guys he watched be clean, but me, myself, when it comes to what I do, I don't need to be. And I feel weird about that as a person and as a father. And I don't know if I should. I don't know. I feel weird about it, you know. I feel weird. I feel like I really feel hypocritical. I wonder what people would think about that. If you do listen to this and you want to write in to my email, negropleaseradio@gmail.com, or hit me up on Facebook or leave a comment on Podbean or wherever, just let me know how you feel about that. Am I being a hypocrite or am I just being a parent? You know, I really should just chalk it up to being a parent. I can't look at this from a personal standpoint. I have to look at it from a standpoint, hey, I'm raising a child, and we don't curse around my son, so why should I let him watch that video? Even though there's times where I'm like, damn it, this is a good video. I want to see if he gets past this level, but I just can't do it, and I feel weird about it. I just did a fun podcast with my buddies Charlie Ross and Martin Phillips. And they're both DC Comics, funny young dudes. And we got into a discussion about music. And I learned a lot, man. It's like as many shows as I've done with those guys and hung out with those guys, we'd never really talked about anything but comedy. Maybe some social stuff, what's going on in the scene or what's going on in comedy. But we'd never really sat and talked music. And I was surprised, man. I was surprised. You know, if you looked at both of these guys, you would have no idea that they like trap music, Mobb Deep, Pete Rock, CL Smooth. I mean, Run DMC, Young Thug, Lil Baby. I mean, just, you know, Dipset, Hell Rel. I mean, all that shit. And they're, compared to me, they're fairly young. They got they're what, in their mid to late 20s. You know, and I know I should stop doing that shit, because when you're really think about it, hip hop has been around for a while and it's so ingrained in our culture. But there's still a part of me that's somewhat shocked when you see certain people that like hip hop. And then when it's a certain type of hip hop, you're really shocked. Like the other day, man, I was at the intersection and in the lane next to me, there's this guy on a Harley. He's loud, pipes are going. He's got his helmet on, tattoos. He's got his leather vest on. And you will look at that guy and go, that guy's probably racist. He's probably in a weird motorcycle gang, a white supremacist, all that type of bullshit, you know, just because of the bike and the tattoos and the mustache and shit. This motherfucker was blasting Outkast, blasting that shit. If you looked at this guy, you would never even think he knew who that was. But you got to think like, oh, this guy, yeah, he might be in his 50s, but, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, all this great hip hop was coming out in the 90s, man, early 90s. These guys were in their early 20s, you know, probably had some shitty job when they're bound around a bunch of other young dudes, black, white, Mexican, whatever. Everybody's playing their music, you know, or they could be in college, got a black roommate. Boom, next thing you know, you expose the Outkast, you expose the Jay-Z, you expose the Nas. You know, you can go off to your corporate world, you can, you know, do whatever you want. End up in a biker, you know, biker club. And it's just like, hey, man, this is the music I listened to in my early 20s. It was very, you know, influential in my life. It's like, yeah, I like Nas. I like Jay-Z. I also like Metallica. I like Bob Dylan. I like this. I like, you know, CCR. Yeah, man. It's just, yeah, you just can't judge a book by its cover, man. It was a great discussion. Yeah, and you know what? I realized that I really do like a lot of the new rap, man. I fought it for years. Up until about 5 years ago, I fought that shit, man. I thought all Young Thug, I thought all these guys were weird. Gucci Mane, I hated their names. I refused to listen. And then one day I kind of just broke down and said, you know what? If I'm going to trash these guys, let me listen to it first. And I ended up liking it. And slowly but surely, I just became a fan. And I honestly find myself listening to less and less older rap. But I still listen to Jay-Z and Nas and Mobb Deep still, but yeah, I do find myself seeking out new music. Drake's new, it's not an album, I guess, like an official album. It's a new mixtape that just came out called Dark Lane or something like that. I didn't even look at the name of it. What is it called? It is called, of course, it's called Dark Lane Demo Tapes. Dark Lane Demo Tapes. Top to bottom, it's fire, man. I like it. I'm a huge Drake fan, obviously. It's really, really good, man. I like it a lot. But I can't really consider, because see, that's what's funny now. Because I remember years ago, my boys were like, oh, you fuck with Drake, nigga. Drake is soft ass. Now Drake is like, and I'm not saying he's Jay-Z, but he's like the Jay-Z of this generation. They look at him as the older guy. Dude's in his fucking, he's about to be in his mid-30s. I mean, he's almost done. You can't be in your late 30s rapping. It's a young man's game. He's seen as an old dude now. You know, he's a guy with money. But, yeah, I like it a lot, man. But Drake rarely misses. Even with the Tootsie Slide, I can fuck with that. I'm not a big dance song guy, but, eh. I almost skipped it. I remember when it came out a couple weeks ago. I listened to it. I was like, eh. But I wanted to hear how it played within the theme of the mixtape. And it flows well. I see why it's in there. I really enjoyed it. But, all right. So, two quick topics and I'm out of here. This is my second time recording this, man, because I went over my time last time. And I said some shit kind of weird. So I was like, yeah, that could be taken the wrong way. So let me, reword this. All right. So, I know last week I made fun of the people in Michigan, and I get it. I do think it's funny what people find to be oppression or oppressive, especially the people who tell other people to quit complaining and pull themselves up by their bootstraps, Blue Lives Matter, stop crying. And here they are yelling at those same people that they say that they support through and through while holding a very large firearm. And those who know me, I support Second Amendment through and through. I don't believe in gun control, none of that bullshit. But, all right. So these protests in Michigan, it's like, I get it. Okay? I 100% understand it. I support people's right to protest. I know as a black dude, I cannot do exactly what they did. We've tried it. You guys remember in the 60s, we had the Black Panthers, state capital in California. Ronald Reagan did not like that. Shut that shit down. They were all arrested, detained, whatever you want to call it. And gun control laws just kind of weirdly appeared after that happened because America is terrified of angry black dudes with guns. Even if you're doing everything according by the law, they don't care. That's scary. So I know we can't do that. All right. You have angry mobs of white dudes showing up. They're not being shot. They're not being shot at. They're not being detained. They're not being arrested. That is people, white privilege. Now, I know I have a lot of white conservative friends. I don't know if they listen. I doubt it. But if you're a friend, they probably do. If you're a friend. Yeah, I need to stop getting so fucking upset and offended by that. Okay? Not all white privilege. We're not saying it's all bad. White privilege is not that your daddy was rich or you were handed your job. No one's saying that, you know, or you have the perfect job, that you don't get dirty. No one's saying that you didn't work for what you have. No one's saying that. White privilege is benefit of the doubt, okay? That's all it is. It's benefit of the doubt. You can show up with a gun. I mean, white dudes shoot shit up in this country all the time. All the time, okay? All the time. I have to say it one more time. But a white dude can also just go into a store that same day, the next day, buy the same exact platform of weapon, and no one will even bat an eye. All right? For people of color, it's not as easy. Okay? It's not as easy for us to do that. And you just have to accept that. It is what it is. Now, I appreciate that these people are putting the pressure to their state government. Maybe this will scare those people to getting some shit done and going, you know what? Maybe we are being a little, you know, we're being a little bit overboard with some of these restrictions. We want to be safe, but okay. You can go out and do X, Y, and Z, and it can be done safely. Sometimes you just got a lot of fire under people's ass to get them to get some work done. And if what they're doing right now started a domino effect of like actually getting these government officials to get some work done, to demand that they get aid and get equipment and get all the shit that we need to get our country back going again, I support that. I support that. Okay? You're using your white privilege to do that. But you, like, use it to benefit everybody. The thing is, man, and some people will disagree, we all have our own little privileges. Black people do, women do, gay people do, men do, women do. You know, we all do. That's why I like having a diverse group of friends. Dude, if we could just learn to just use our privileges to our advantage, to not play the system, but use it to our advantage to get what we want from the system. I don't see the problem if we're doing it to benefit everybody. Sometimes you need a black woman to go in somewhere and yell at somebody to get some shit done. Why? Because, a lot. If it's a white lady, sometimes it's like, we've heard it a bunch of times. But let a black lady go somewhere and scream about customer service sometimes. That might light a fire underneath that company's ass or that manager's ass to get something done because they know the optics of it look weird. They go, ah, this is going to look like I'm telling this black lady what to do. Fuck that. I'm going to give her a refund. And it's like, you know what? You should have gave the motherfucker a refund anyway. But you figure, I can argue with this white lady or I can argue with this white guy. And vice versa. Sometimes we should just use our privileges to our advantage to get what we want. And it sucks that we all have these different privileges and all that kind of stuff, but we have a fucked up history as a country. And until we can fix all of that, let's just try to use it to make things better for everybody. So that's why I'm really not going to trash these guys too hard. Because what they're doing could end up benefiting everybody. Okay, I'm just not a fan of, like, you can protest how you want to. You can show up angry and screaming and with a gun. But if black people show up and do something and someone stands in the street or they even block traffic, it's like, is it shitty to block traffic? Yeah, but it's also very, very shitty to show up to a government facility with guns. All right, because that could be seen as a threat, man. All right. Like I said, we have shootings in this country all the time. It's just weird, man. It's just weird. Now, yeah, I personally wouldn't do it. You know, I know there's some black people that would show up, and I'm pretty sure nothing would happen. But that's me. I'm just cautious about it. Now, I do like seeing black people at stuff like that because it's like, okay, all right, we getting out there. People aren't really tripping. So, you know, maybe if there is some type of, like, Second Amendment, gathering where they're going to have, like, hey, bring your gun, open carry. You know, we're going to have some demonstrations. Or, you know, we're going to have these guys. You can sign up for these classes. You know, we're going to teach the kids some guns. I'm all for that kind of stuff. You know, maybe I would be willing to go to something like that. But an actual demonstration while this pandemic is going on, people are on edge, I think I'm going to sit this one out, you know? That's just me, but all right, I'm sorry I got kind of weird at the end, but there's a show, that's the show. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I'm trying to do a bunch of podcasts with my friends, so, and other comics. So over the next few weeks, I'm going to be posting a lot of podcasts that I'm going to be on, so make sure you check them out and support my friends. And all right, be safe, and I'll see y'all out there. Peace.